talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, with your host, David Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
How's everybody doing today? We're doing great. That's how we're doing. Doing so good. It's a beautiful day. It's an absolutely beautiful day. How's everybody doing today? Everybody's doing great. That's good to hear. I can hear you all saying to me through the electromagnetic waves of the microphone, "I'm having a great Sunday, David." That's wonderful, world. Well, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, the show where we talk about everything from, let's see, life experiences to stresses in life to whatever you want to talk about, man. Religion, anything. Parents, school, college, high school, whatever. We're here. We are here to talk. In the studio today, we have Dr. Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing,
great.
Dr. Michelle?
Thank you for having me on today.
Well,
sure appreciate it.
Of course. I got the pleasure of having you on last week as well.
Yeah. That was really fun talking about teen issues.
No, and, that was. That was fun.
Answering listeners' questions. You have some interesting listeners out there.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. But
much more interesting than my show.
No, I
Did
wouldn't.
Did you like the way I plugged that?
I wouldn't. Yeah, that was nice. That was cute how you gave me a little boost there. Oh, what a cutie. Isn't Doc Michelle the greatest?
Thanks.
No, but yeah. So, you know, I had her on last week, and I don't know. There's something about the vibe, just like the energy that like we create in the studio, like when we're talking. I just
Thank
love
you.
It. I thrive off of it.
Cool.
I love it.
Do you want to plug my show now?
No joke. Literally, I was just going to do that.
I'm really obnoxious. That's why you like me.
I was just going to say, people, you got to listen to Dr. Michelle on the couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday, 11 o'clock.
That's me.
11 to 12 every Friday, LA Talk Radio. Mm-hmm. The best talk radio station in the entire world.
That's like, right.
Hands down. All right, guys. So, as you guys know, if you listen to the show, I am a musician. I write music, I play music, I listen to music all day. Music is probably my number one passion, and I don't know, it makes people happy, it changes your emotions, it controls kind of, you know, depending on like what music you listen to.
What do
you
do in music? What kind of stuff do you do?
Do I do personally?
Yeah.
Well, I play the ukulele. I sing and I freestyle rap. Hmm. Not like oh bitches hoes. Not like that.
Okay.
I'm personally more into like the intellectual, like universal freestyle talk rap. I don't know.
Nice.
Poetics,
spirituality.
There you go. Yeah. Something like that. Dr. Michelle, I think you've heard a little bit.
I actually have heard some of your music. It's really good.
Thank you.
It's
thank
quite,
you very
quite
much.
Quite nice. Your writing blows me away.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, it does. I mean, your writing is just... You should have brought that thing that you were kind of freestyling for me. And
yeah.
I was just like, oh, my God. No, really. You wrote
thank
that.
You.
That was
thank
so
you very
good.
Much.
I was blown away. And I'm just not saying that. I really wouldn't... I would say nothing if you were bad. I just go, uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Well, thanks very much. That's very nice of you. But yeah, you know, that's my kind of music, and yeah, I listen to all different kinds of music. But today I kind of wanted to dissect the kind of like, yes, it makes you, yes, music makes you feel good. It can change your emotions, you know, but why,
mm-hmm.
you know, like what is it about music that is so potent to the human mind, you know, which affects everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I want to do is just talk.
Cool,
you know,
cool.
Just talk. Dr. Michelle, you being a psychologist, do you have like background and kind of like information with music and whatnot? I do know that there's like some sort of like study slash technique in psychology that involves music.
There is. When we're studying psychology, we learn about all the different what are called like orientations.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they are, and the types of therapy given. And one of the types is music therapy, and it helps people relax, basically. It helps them, they can create their own music, or through music, they can express emotions and feel emotions. So that's kind of in a nutshell. There is a such thing as music therapy. The partner who I work with, actually, in my office, plays and writes music. His name's Dr. Alan Camo, and he writes music, and he plays it. He has a really good CD. He's actually going to be, his music is going to be in a movie.
Wow.
And I can't really talk about it because I'm not supposed to. But
that's really cool.
He's that good. And he also does music therapy. So when we have pretty good soundproof rooms. We share the same lobby, but he has a different office than I do. Sometimes I hear him playing music. He has his guitar in his office.
Yeah.
Or his produced music on his computer for someone. He does music therapy.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm thinking, how cool is that?
That's really cool.
So there is a therapeutic technique to answer your question.
Way cool. Well, thank you. I decided to do a bit of research myself.
Cool.
And there's this thing. It's called neurophysical healing.
Huh.
Let me read it to you.
Okay.
It's called there are at least three neurophysical healing processes which may be triggered by music.
Wow.
Neurophysical healing is like the brain. Mm-hmm. Like healing the brain, mm-hmm, like neuron.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Number one, and listen to what these have to say, because that's actually really, really, really cool.
Okay.
They use big words, but okay, we'll work it out. Number one, music is nonverbal, so can move through the brain's auditory cortex directly to the center of the limbic system.
Right.
This system governs emotional experiences and basic metabolic responses.
Right.
Such as body temperature, mm-hmm, blood pressure, and heart rate.
Well, right. You know, like slow, peaceful music.
Yeah.
Really lowers blood pressure, lowers, you know, heart rate, breathing, all that.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
It said it can also help create new neural pathways in the brain as well. Meaning, okay, basically, what a thought is, like the actual, like, physical demonstration of a thought,
mm-hmm,
is neurons in the brain connecting.
Correct.
A thought is just a neuron in the brain connecting, triggering that thought, sending it to
other neurons.
To other neurons,
right,
exactly.
Right.
And thoughts trigger emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Music,
mm-hmm,
you know, triggers thoughts, which triggers emotions. So,
right,
for example, if you're listening to calming music, you know, mm-hmm, let's say you've had a super duper stressful day.
Right.
Like super stressful. Like everything's going bad at work. Like you don't even know what's up, you know?
Right.
And you listen to peaceful music. You may not be in the mood for peaceful music. You may want to listen to something to like
Marilyn
get
Manson.
The anger. There you go. You know, but, that's funny because we heard a Marilyn Manson song.
Yes, we did.
Just before the show. That's funny that you said that.
Yes.
Nice little inside
really
joke.
Really happy music, yeah.
But, you know, if you listen to peaceful music, what's going to happen? You don't have control over this.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the peaceful music and you interpret it, then it literally will, like, connect neurons in your brain.
Yeah.
Because ears, you know, you're interpreting
temporal
it.
Lobe,
there
right?
You go.
Goes through the temporal lobe, right?
And
the limbic system, which is emotion and stuff. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? And it'll change the way that you feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It does. It really does.
It really does. And it can change it in such a good way.
And you don't even have to have like calming music. You know, sometimes when I'm just really feeling dull and bored and kind of stale from working all day.
Yeah.
I just I know this sounds really stupid, but I put on some AC/DC and I just I just put up the bass and I just go crazy.
Cool.
You know, I'm on the
really
highway
cool.
to hell
no,
yeah. on the way home from my psychological practice. You know what I'm saying? So
that's
it's
very
like
funny.
It really helps though. It kind of, you know, it gets out that yeah.
No, it
and
so it, does.
The endorphins start going and I'm just feeling really high and it's a really good feeling.
Yeah.
Some of the music does.
Yeah. Dr. Michelle, you're so high.
Yeah. It's those endorphins from Highway to Hell.
No. But yeah. No, for sure.
No.
For sure. Like I know it's I do the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
I've had a long day at school or whatever. On my way home, I'll blast. I don't know. I listen to like, I don't know if you guys have heard like RJD2, stuff like that.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
That's your listeners, right?
No.
Yeah, they know. Yeah.
No, but, I listen to stuff like that.
Yeah.
It totally puts me in this different mood. I don't even feel like I'm human, you know, like when I'm in like
yeah.
my music mode,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
music mode for me is just like I'm completely engulfed in the music. Like I'm feeling it. Almost like seeing it, you know,
right?
And just like I'm completely with it, and I don't know, it totally helps me. Sorry, were you gonna say something?
No, when you're playing music, do you go into the zone that like here and now where you're
oh.
It's almost like a meditative state.
Oh God, yeah.
Right.
When I'm playing music,
mm-hmm.
like
or when you're writing or freestyling, which I've heard you do, it's really like you're just coming up with these thoughts and
it's you know for me. When I write music myself, it's my way of meditating. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I meditate in other ways.
Yeah.
You know, I do the whole cross my legs, you know, gather energy. You
really?
Know, I do that
you
too.
Do?
No, for sure
That's
I do.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, you got to.
You're
you know?
A teenager, though. I don't know teenagers who
you
do gotta
that. Keep your stuff in line, though. You know,
wow.
meditating, it generates positive energy.
That's great.
Got, you know, white light. You gotta
yeah.
gotta stay with that. It
That's
helps.
That's incredible.
So many people don't believe that, like, you know, if you surround yourself with this impenetrable divine white light, you know, what is that going to do? Like, you can't see the light. Like, there's nothing there. No. You know, yes, because this is, you know, the physical world. We can get into a conversation. Let's stick to music.
Okay. It's a spiritual
experience.
But no,
it's for
yeah.
sure a spiritual experience. You know, but I wanted to go number two.
Oh.
Because it says there are at least three neurophysical healing processes.
Whoa.
So that was number one. Number two. Music can activate the flow of stored memory and imagined material across the corpus callosum.
Oh, the corpus callosum. Of course.
Callosum.
Of course it can.
The bridge, just to let you know, the corpus callosum is the bridge between left and right hemispheres of the
right.
brain.
Right, right.
Helping the two work in harmony. This stimulates the immune system. Oh, that's cool.
Whoa, that's
wow.
right. I've heard that. Because what happens is, yeah, it releases certain neurohormones that
yeah.
help with you know, bodily defense mechanisms and stimulates the release of like I said, neurohormones, which really help.
Yeah, no, that's way
cool. So
cool. I didn't know that.
So
I
that memory thing you're talking about, I think what they're saying is that when you have good old memories, let's say music associated with
yeah, yeah,
times
yeah.
that were really positive.
Oh no, for sure.
And then it triggers that and just kind of releases some of those
it also,
hormones.
You know, music can also I honestly only look at music in a positive way, you know.
Yeah.
But it can, you know, pull in like negative thoughts and whatnot because.
Oh sure.
You know, I've, you know, been listening to a song or something. You know, a song will come on the
right,
radio or
right.
whatever, and you know, it'll be a song that I used to listen to with this girl.
Right.
You know, that
right.
I was going out or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You know?
And that hurts.
And it'll
sometimes.
Get me thinking. I'll
sure.
just be like, oh,
you get melancholy.
Shit. You know.
Yeah.
But excuse
yeah.
the language. But no. It's
yeah.
You know, it's cool.
That makes sense.
Music is very cool.
So what else does it do?
Number three.
Mm.
Music can excite peptides in the brain and stimulate the production of endorphins.
Yeah.
Which are natural opiates
right.
secreted by the, ooh, that's a big word, hypothalamus.
You got it. Hypothalamus.
Hypothalamus.
Right.
Which produces a feeling of natural euphoria,
right.
shifting mood and emotion.
Right.
That's cool. So basically, like, music can like stimulate endorphins, meaning it can get you happier.
Yeah, it does. You know, when people, you hear people who are totally into exercise or are addicted to exercising, they way overdo it and they
yeah.
feel. You told me you were a runner. Remember when you used to run and you used
I
to
was.
Get see and you used to get a high feeling sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's endorphins.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same thing with music.
Yeah.
Actually, come to think of it, I definitely like know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, right when you said that, I just thought of, like when I used to run and whatnot, and, like, you know, after, like, let's say I used to run cross country and track. Cross country is a, like, 3.1 mile race.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're definitely releasing endorphins there. Yeah.
And after the race, it's literally like you are not sober in any way.
Wow.
Like you are completely
that's nice.
On this natural euphoria.
Yeah.
You know?
That's nice.
And then I was thinking about that, and then when I play music.
Wow. Yeah.
No, for sure. Like when I play music, I get the same level.
It's that being in the zone of not even thinking. It's just being in the now.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
Yeah.
It's
that's amazing.
It's like that. It's like so sporadic, you know,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
yet
mm-hmm.
contained. I think it's a beautiful
You're
thing.
You're not even thinking.
I don't know. It's
yeah.
pretty cool.
That's some cool things you have.
Yeah, yeah. I just passed. gave you the paper. Also, I got this other thing off findarticles.com.
Cool.
Find articles on music. Staying in tune with music, impact of music on mental health and physical health.
Yeah.
So this is something on that. Check this out. We are surrounded by music, yet most people don't realize the vast impact it has on our everyday mental, physical, and spiritual health.
Yeah.
Modern researchers delving into why and how music affects our minds and bodies have come up with some startling facts.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, music creates change in metabolism, circulation, blood volume, pulse, blood pressure, and our moods. Doris Sibelman, author of Therapeutic and Industrial Uses of Music, claims that nearly every organ in the body responds to music.
Whoa.
Wow. That's crazy.
That is crazy. I like that.
Music can compel us to laugh, to cry, to worship God. It can calm us or whip us into an emotional foot-stomping frenzy.
Mm.
Playing, quote-unquote, our song can trigger memories and nostalgic moods. Thank you. In the Bible, David calmed King Saul's moods by playing the harp.
Wow, yeah.
Egyptians
that's right.
used music to calm their insane and their mighty pyramids. There's a pyramid that's... Somebody messed up in the typo. And their mighty pyramids were built to the rhythmic beat of it. That's cool.
Whoa, that is cool.
That is really cool.
Kind of keeps people moving.
Yeah, and if you think about it,
yeah,
a pyramid, like, can't you see, like, a pyramid being built, like, in a beat?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
With everything, like, every little block of whatever pyramids are, sand, rock, I don't know what they're made out of.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know, that's cool. And then one more. Let's see, different uses for music. Today, programmed music is used to make jogging, walking, and other exercises easier and more fun.
Yeah.
In a recent newspaper interview with a top high school runner, the athlete attributed his running success partially to music. According to the article, the runner tunes out distractions and gets the correct mindset by picking the right mood, mood of music to run with.
Did you do that?
I did.
Wow.
Actually, come to think of it. I used to get my iPod and just like run for hours, you know.
To help you in your races.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a vibratory frequency thing that, you know, there's like the C, you know, they say resonates with, that's like the vibration of God.
Yeah.
You know, the ohm and all that
C,
stuff.
C in the universe is considered to be the vibration of creation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know, which I find really cool.
I do too.
If you guys want to call in, talk to us about any music. I wanted to give you guys an opportunity on the show.
Yes.
I was thinking about this. You know, Teen Trends is all about helping other people out, you know, talking and, you know, just giving people opportunity, you know, to express themselves.
Yeah.
On Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, if you guys, you know, have your own music that wants to be listened to or you want it to be heard on the air, contact me at my email. DCSBoarding, that's BOARDING 514@AOL.com. Email me the music, talk to me, we'll work something out, and you know,
oh,
hopefully
you could discover someone.
No,
preview
definitely
some of the
definitely
music,
you know, I love, you know, hearing other people's music, and it'd be my pleasure to put it on the air. You know, you get heard. Like, what else does a musician want besides to get heard, you know?
Exactly.
And I want to give that opportunity. Also, if you guys want to talk to us about anything or what we're talking about now, hit us up. Number's 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. Right now we're talking about the effect of music, the importance of music, and the effect of music on just your overall experience, you know, like the brain, the body,
yeah,
the soul.
I have a theory. I was, before I studied to be a psychologist, I was in radio for a while. And I used to play music on different radio stations.
Oh, yeah?
I was actually a disc jockey on radio stations. And I'd hear music.
That's way cool.
5 to 6 days a week. I had shifts.
Yeah.
I had like an afternoon drive shift in here in Los Angeles. And then I had a night shift for 4 years at another radio station, broadcast stations, which I won't mention because, you know, they're broadcast.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did that probably for like really straight about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I worked for the station in San Francisco, too, which there's a station here called KLOS. It's an FM rock station. I worked for their FM station in San Francisco. It was KGO-FM. Anyway, to make a long story short, I think I was in a much better place emotionally for years because I used to play music every night. And I'd get into music mode, and it just would lift
mode.
Me up. You know
high
what I'm
five,
saying?
Doctor. Yeah.
High five on that. Right, there we go. Did you hear that, guys?
All right.
Anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Mode. Yes.
I think I was just to an elevated place.
Yeah.
Because I used to do that for a while before I changed careers.
Yeah.
No, and I probably should have stayed a disc jockey. I don't know.
No, Dr. Matt. You are.
I like what I do, though.
You're the best psychologist in the entire world.
Well, thank you.
Well,
I like working with you. I like working with you guys.
I want to point something out.
Yeah.
Can you please start using music mode?
Yes.
How get music mode? How
I
cool.
was. I was in music mode.
You're
for,
in music
for so
mode.
Many years. I was just mellow every day.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, so it that there you go.
No, for sure.
I have a theory.
I wanted to touch back real quick on what you were talking about you know, how music is vibration.
Mm-hmm.
That is totally, totally true. You know, we're going to go deep for 1 second. Just 1 second, which will take us back.
Okay.
Dr. Michelle, you're very into, like, you know, the universe and spirituality and manifesting,
yeah,
all that stuff.
I am.
As you know, like you just said, yes, music is a vibration. And, like, I believe, and I, you know, we've had talks like this before, you know, thoughts are vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
This entire existence is created off of, you know, different vibrations and vibrations that, you know, fuel different things to just create.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe in
the law of attraction. What you think is what you will receive.
No, for sure.
You know,
and
manifestation and things like that. Totally.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, but you believe that thoughts are vibrations.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And like they go out into the universe.
Absolutely.
And the universe mirrors it back.
Absolutely.
Well, music is just like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of it is a vibration.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
When, you know, when there's something such as music, you know, that fuels those thoughts, and it itself is a vibration.
Oh, absolutely.
It's powerful.
And that's, you know what I think, too, is I think it's because music, there's so many different types. Everybody, as pardon the pun, resonates to different types of music. So what I like, you may not like because it's not within your vibration, or it's not within what you really feel good about.
Right.
So what's great is everybody has their own preference and their own frequency and their own vibration, and anything can make different people feel good.
Exactly.
Everybody has their own preference, which is wonderful.
Exactly. Which also is like really cool.
Yeah.
You know,
to think
about like when one person is on like one wavelength. Of emotion, you listen to that music, whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And hopefully you're both in a good place. Or all your friends are, or whatever.
Let's just all be super duper happy.
No. Yeah, that'll work. Simplicity. Simplicity, that's what I believe in.
Exactly, simplicity, that is. Simplicity is key. I wanted to transition real quick. Dr. Michelle.
Yes.
I got this story, and it's a letter from a listener.
Oh, okay.
From Alyssa.
You have a lot of teens writing you, right?
I do.
On your show. Oh, that's cool. They have, they trust you.
They do trust me. Thanks,
that's
teens.
Nice.
Thanks, friends.
How can they get in touch with you again? How can I get in touch with you?
Well, Dr. Michelle, you can get in touch with me by speaking to me because I'm right across the table from you.
Oh, okay.
If you guys want to get in touch, please, please, please email me at dcsboarding, that's BORDING514 @AOL.com.
Cool.
You can also call in right now, live on the air, 323-203-0815. Dr. Michelle.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you about this letter I got.
Okay.
And yeah. I want transition. Doesn't really have any.
Is it a question or?
No. It's just a letter.
Oh, okay.
But just... I wanted to get your feedback because okay, I saw cool. this and I was like, Dr. Michelle would
cool.
like this.
Cool.
It's kind of sad a little bit, but whatever.
Okay. We can work it out.
The story has a bit of irony in it. It is more of a breakup story though than anything else.
Okay.
That's how it starts.
Okay.
My boyfriend of a year and a half, who I was madly in love with, called me one day saying that his dad was dying and he had to go to see him for a while. And he didn't know when he would be back.
Aww.
His dad lived all the way across the country. 6 weeks went by, and he never called or emailed me or anything. I was still thinking that he was just visiting his dying father. Oh. But when 3 months had gone by, and I never heard from him, I tried to call him on his phone and on his cell, and I emailed him, and he never responded. I realized that he had ditched me in the most immature way possible.
Uh-oh.
All he had to do was tell me that he didn't want to see me anymore, but he has to lie about somebody dying.
Oh, no.
Listen to this, though. This is the good part. The ironic part is that about 2 weeks after, I realized he had left me and my uncle. Wait. The ironic part is that about 2 weeks after I realized he had left me, my uncle really did die, and I had to go to the mall to look for an outfit to wear to the funeral.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so
sad. her relative
her,
did
her
pass
uncle
away.
Died. While I was there, feeling super depressed over everything, guess who I saw? None other than my lying ex with another woman.
Oh, my God.
And the worst thing is he saw me and completely ignored me.
Oh, my God.
I was so shocked by this that
what
I didn't
jerk.
Say anything and just kept walking.
Oh, my gosh.
It had almost been a year, but to this day, I cannot believe that he had the nerve to do that to me.
Wow.
Just the week before he claimed his dad was dying, he was talking about the marriage. What? Wait, there's a marriage.
Hmm.
Just the week before he claimed his dad was dying, he was talking about marriage.
Oh, my
oh
God.
Oh, my God. Okay.
What a jerk. So he was really...
So apparently this isn't a teen. The moral of the story is that if you want to end a relationship, just tell the other person.
Yeah.
Lying does not save anyone from hurt.
God, that's terrible.
It just leaves the other person completely confused. I didn't do anything to deserve being treated this way.
Wow.
Well, Alyssa, I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm sorry for your uncle as well, and I'm also sorry for the situation. You know, it seems like through this letter, like, you know, you have a pretty good attitude about it.
Yeah.
Props to you, you know,
mm-hmm.
for just, you know, writing about
it. Sounds like she kind of learned, but I hope she doesn't not trust guys anymore.
No, yeah.
You know.
Alyssa, if you're listening to the show, I would say, you know, there's always a few out there that, you know, do stupid things.
Yeah.
You know, some people just aren't as comfortable with, you know, themselves. It's hard. You know, it's so hard, especially if you're talking about marriage. I mean, that was kind of his fault. If he had intention to break up in the first place, you probably shouldn't be talking about marriage. But, you know, it's hard to say to a girl, oh, you know. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
No, it's really... It is, but it's chicken.
Yeah.
It's really
no,
chicken.
It is. No,
the
no,
fact
no,
that
no,
he
it's
saw
totally
her
chicken.
And looked at her, that's really tacky.
No, that's way tacky.
God.
That's way, way tacky. But, you know, also, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, that's such an awkward situation.
Yeah.
And I'm not letting off the guy in any way, shape, or form. That is not acceptable.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You totally should have just said something.
Because
that's just messed up, you know?
I hear
oh, my
you.
Dad's
well, that's
dying.
That's a great story. That's terrible,
What a terrible lie.
Like, you know, that's like information for, like, movies. You know, that's like a great script for movies.
No,
that
literally,
kind of thing where
that's
the guy
so
gets
funny,
busted.
Because
you know.
I was just going to say,
mm-hmm.
Alyssa, you should make a movie out of this.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like,
yeah.
A movie of your experience.
She's not that into you. Or he's not that into you.
He's
or
not
something
that into
like that.
Yeah.
So funny. I have a email that somebody wrote me a while back on my show, and I actually didn't answer it, and I brought it here. I called this person, or, you know, I emailed him back and then called him briefly and asked if I could have permission.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give their name or anything, but I brought it on your show today because it's a teen. It's a question about teens from a parent.
Oh, for sure.
So is that okay
please,
if I do that? Because I thought
yes.
Since you have a teen audience – Hopefully maybe somebody will call in and give us some feedback, or, you know, the listeners will just go, yeah, that would help. And you can convey this, and hopefully if some parents are listening, this might help too.
No, for sure.
So, I'll just read this. I'm just going to, you know, roll off some ideas here. But they said, Dear Dr. Michelle, how do I build a relationship with my teens? It's very difficult because my teens are getting older. One is 15 and the other is 17. I have a boy and a girl. They both seem to be moving away from me, spending a lot more time with their friends. Cool. We used to do a lot of activities together, but I am getting very upset and I feel sad about it. How can I open the line of communication so that my teens would want to be with me? That's sad.
That
I feel
sad.
Really bad, but it's very typical.
Yeah.
So how to rebuild trust between a parent and their teen? I mean, how do you, I don't know what issues have been going on. This parent didn't really specify, but they just want to have better relationships. And, you know, their teens, it doesn't necessarily mean, do you agree that if a teen is spending a lot of time with their friends, that they're drifting away
Not
from
at
the
all.
Parents?
Not at all.
Right?
No. One thing, you know, there could be a very common misconception.
Yeah.
Because they're spending more time with their friends does mean that they're spending less time with the parents.
Right.
But that does not mean that they're drifting away from the parents.
Right.
They're just, you know, broadening their opportunities of what to do.
Okay.
Hanging out with friends. They're getting older. They're teenagers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang out with your friends. Are you kidding
me?
Like, that's like one of the biggest part of your entire teenage experience is
right, exactly.
Having good times with your friends,
well,
you know?
For sure, and you find out who you are. You grow as a person.
Oh, for sure.
And it makes you happy, I guess, too.
Of course it does.
So how, you know, how I help parents deal with teens is, you know, at the right time in the right place when you're relaxed with your teens, you know, I guess I'm just talking to this person here. Encourage your teens to talk about what he or she is going through and be willing to listen. Just listen. You know, you have to allow them to feel safe for you to open up. So don't jump to conclusions and start giving advice.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I do
you
agree
think
with
that's
that.
A good idea?
No, that is a good idea.
I think, depending on the situation, your teen really may not want to advice. A lot of parents, I think, feel that teens really want to help them. I mean, they need advice or they want to help them or something. But they just want to be partially maybe understood or they just want to be heard.
Yeah.
So if a problem seems really small to you, it may be really a major problem for your teen. You know, you have life experience, parents. You can just go, that's easy.
Yeah.
But don't blow it off. Don't minimize it. Don't make it like, right?
Right.
Also, you'll get over
I want to touch on one thing.
That's not helpful.
What?
You'll get What's over
that?
It.
Oh, no. That is not helpful. No. I want to touch on one thing.
Yeah.
Along with don't minimize it.
Yeah.
Another thing with teens, you know, usually like older teens, just because they're older.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't maximize it as well.
Hmm.
You know, find the happy medium.
Okay.
Don't minimize it to like... like you said, you'll get over it, or don't worry about it, you know, time will heal, you know. And don't maximize it to the point of like, you know, shall we do this? Like, what do you want to do? Like, I'm so sorry, you know, like this and that. Do you want to do this? Can I help you with this? Can I, you know?
Yeah.
Because then that, you know, we don't want to be babied.
You know,
you want to find the happy medium. What I would say personally for parents,
mm-hmm,
the best thing to do in a situation like that, and the most effective way, I would say, is literally ask them, what can I do for you?
Uh-huh.
You know, what will help you? Dr. Michelle, we actually have a caller.
Cool.
Let me
You wanna
give this real quick.
You got the microphone pulled up there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
You are on the air, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing quite well.
Good. My name's Sean. And, excuse me, I'm a little nervous.
there's no need to
you know, it's so yourself. Funny you're talking about teens and things. You know, I just I don't know how to deal with this, but, my son just admitted that he's been smoking marijuana.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't know how to deal with that.
Well,
and
Steve,
what am I supposed to do?
First of
you
all,
know, from a teen point of view.
Steve?
I think he said Sean.
Oh, Sean, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry, Sean. How old is your son?
He's 16.
He's 16 and he's smoking weed. How did this come up? Like, did he just walk in the door one day? Oh, hey, Dad, I'm smoking pot.
Well, he came home one night and he looked weird. And my wife and I looked at him and said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on. And he was acting weird and very, very kind of defensive. And I just don't know what to do. I'm very concerned. My wife, she's under a lot of stress. And I'm just very worried about her, and I'm very worried about, you know, my son.
Well, Sean, I'm sorry.
Smoking pot.
So did he just freely offer this advice? I mean, this information to you? He just said, yeah, I've been smoking weed.
Reluctantly.
Okay, did you ask him, like, did he drive when he was high?
Yeah, I was going to say, did he come home? Like,
he did.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So he drove under the influence.
Yeah.
All right,
he did.
That right there, okay. If he didn't drive under the influence, I would say, you know, he's 16, like, he might be experimenting with things, you know, talk to him about it. Don't let it get out of hand, though. You know, don't say, oh, you can't do this, because when I promise you, Sean, the moment parents say, you cannot do that, first thought in the teen's head, shit, what's he hiding? Like, why can't I do it? I want to do it now.
Right.
Because he's hiding it. My dad's telling me not to do it. So that means, you know, oh, something spooky, you know, something secretive. Don't tell him not to. Tell him the dangers. Tell him the facts, you know. Be like, listen, I realize that you're 16 years old. I realize that, you know, you're a kid. It's out there, you know, especially these days. There's so much. It is ridiculous.
You wouldn't believe the stories I hear.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. You know, I would say, I wouldn't tell him not to do it all. I would say, do it, you know, only in safe environments and in moderation. And if it starts to affect your schoolwork, if it starts to affect, you know,
in moderation, are you kidding me? I don't want him to do it at all.
See,
that's
I don't want him to do it at all.
That's the problem.
It's not right.
Okay, I think there's a difference between you and me. And I'm Sean. This is Dr. Michelle. I'm on the show today with Dave. As you're probably listening.
Yeah.
And
Doc.
Hey, I tell
you. Are you a psychologist or psychiatrist? What are you?
I'm a psychologist.
You're a psychologist.
Right. I don't prescribe.
And you
medication.
Condone this kind of behavior?
No, I don't condone it. No, I think you misunderstand what I'm saying. What I feel is that from early on, I think it's important to teach kids about, you know, what can happen to the brain when they're still growing and functioning and the lack of motivation it can cause. And I think, no, I see, excuse me, because Dave is a teen, I think he's coming from a different place and a point of view than from where I'm coming from.
I've seen my friends. I'm 42 years old. I've put some of my friends in the grave because they got involved in drugs years ago.
Well, right.
And I'll tell
you
something. It is not a good situation.
Well,
it's like
you.
I feel like they're playing with dynamite. You know, it's just they do this and they don't know what the hell they're doing.
No,
they just don't.
I'm in
Arizona. I'm in Prescott, Arizona, and I'll tell you, the drugs are all over the place.
Oh yeah,
no,
they're everywhere.
What can I do to get my son off of this pot?
All right. Well, first of all, do you know how often he's smoking?
We've only had one situation.
One situation. Okay.
I don't
Sit
know.
Down. Sean.
Sean. I've grounded him. I've taken the car away from him. I told him it's stupid.
Sean, that's
ridiculous.
That's not going to be a fact. Sean, if you, I'm being completely honest with you, not in, oh, I'm a teenager, like, dude, like, let's get high, like, not in that way at all. Coming from a completely logical point of view, if you are harsh with him, oh, God, you smoke weed, I'm taking the car away, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, he will not react in a positive way. He will look at you.
Sean,
let me speak, okay?
The staff? What did you just say, Sean?
I almost took the strap to him.
Okay, that's too far.
I wanted to whip that boy.
Don't do that.
Do you whip him on a usual basis?
No. But Grandpa does. If Grandpa knew about this, he'd roll over in his grave.
All right,
you know,
Sean,
he'd roll over in his grave.
Sean, let me speak. I respect you and I respect what you have to say, but honestly, times have changed. Yes. If Grandpa were to see him, he would be rolling over in his grave. This is very true, but Grandpa was alive 100 years ago.
He wasn't alive 100 years ago. Okay? That's completely inaccurate. You don't know what the hell you're talking about, boy. All I can tell you is there's got to be some way to take this marijuana off the street. There's got to be a way to do this.
Sean,
listen. I'm going to tell you right now. From the very dating back to the history of the creation of the planet Earth, when human beings were first put on this planet Earth, they have found that marijuana has been used. Marijuana has been used from, and I don't advocate it in any way, shape, or form. I'm just telling you how it is complete. I'm giving you kind of a an explanation of how it's going to be completely impossible to take marijuana off of the streets. From Craig Mogdenman or something. Neanderthal times. Like
Cro-Magnon.
Cro-Magnon.
Oh, I didn't
Thank
know what
you.
I'm looking at you like, what the hell are you talking about?
From Cro-Magnon to Neanderthal.
What the hell are you talking about?
I love this guy.
No, he's a funny guy.
Maybe I can help him out, too.
Yeah,
maybe I can help him out.
Definitely. But
I'm glad you're on the air, Dr. Michelle. At least you have some kind of sense about you. You know, I'll tell
Thank you, Sean.
This is ridiculous.
No,
Just tell me. A, B, C.
Okay.
What do I do?
Okay,
do
I'll
I
tell
test
you.
Him? Do I yeah. ground him? What the hell do I do to get this boy off of the pot?
Okay.
What do I do?
Ooh, you're angry. I really get that you're angry.
You got to calm down,
What
man.
I would do is, first of all, I would calm yourself down a little bit, and I'm not laughing at you. I'm just kind of like, wow. I'm looking at the volume meters here in the station, and it's it's going over the
going
top
off
here.
The
so,
charts.
I just want you to... first of all, do you have other relatives who were on the same page as you, your wife, and do you have other close relatives who...
Hold on one second. excuse me. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. That went off the volume meter, too. Anyway. Okay.
You've been smoking a little yourself, Sean. No, I'm just playing.
If you have some relatives who, and your wife, you said, and do you have any older kids as well?
No.
Okay. I'm thinking about you guys ought to be on the same page and have a talk and sit down and talk.
He's got a sister who's 10 years old.
Oh, okay.
I don't want her to start seeing this crap.
Oh, for sure.
No, definitely. I totally see
yeah.
that. Totally see that.
But what I would do is I would find out, do you know about your son's friends that well too? Do you know who he's hanging out with and a lot of who his friends are?
He's very secretive.
Okay. I would find out more about who his friends are and get more involved and have him invite them over. Because, you know, he may have started smoking weed a long time ago, and he may be with a crowd who just likes experimenting. And, of course, it feels good. It's a teen brain, so they're going to be, open to any of that stuff. So what I think...
If I hear of him smoking pot before... Mm. I'm going to take the strap to him.
All right.
I'm going to whoop him.
That's not going to help. I don't want to hear about, being a psychologist about taking the strap to any kid, because that's physical abuse. So don't go there. I'm going to trace the call. I'm going to get you. No, I can't do that really legally. But I'm telling you, you need to hear me. Do you really want help?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I want you to stay on the same page with everybody in your family and be firm but understanding and try to find out, what's going on. It's normal for teenagers to experiment. It's really, really normal. You have to just know that. And the way you deal with it is going to make all the difference in the world. You have to know who his friends are, all right? You have to know.
Yeah,
got to open more of a channel of communication so he can trust you and talk to you. He's not going to tell you everything he's done, believe me. He's done a lot more that you have no clue about. You can't control that. But what you can do is instill moral values and good values and honesty and trust.
Right.
And you need to relax. So he's not. See, the more you take the strap to him, or the more you scare the hell out of him, he's going to go the opposite way and think he's really defying you,
exactly,
and really enjoy defying you, because it's going to make him feel better.
Sean, you'd mentioned earlier, you know, you like Dr. Michelle, you don't like me very much. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But check this one out. That is what I just said. I was speaking about, you know, you can't come all, yeah, oh, well, I'm going to take the car away. I'm going to ground you here. I'm going to do this. You know, don't do that. He's going to react in such a negative way. And I'm...
So how the hell do I get him off?
I will tell you.
I don't want him doing it.
I will tell you right now. First of all, approach him calmly. Approach him from a spot where, you know, you can say, all right, you know, I don't know your son's name, Billy. I'll call him Billy. Okay. I'll say, all right, Billy, listen, you know, I realize that you've been, you know, experimenting with pot. It's not a good thing. I don't want you to do it.
His
name's Jake. Okay. Jake, I don't want you doing it. You know, don't be mad. Do not be furious. You know, do not be, you know.
Do not be serious?
Furious.
Furious.
F-U-R-I-O-U-S.
Oh, furious. Okay.
Don't. Okay. Be calm. Be understanding. Say, okay, listen. First of all, also, there's obviously some reason he's doing it. So if you're going to, you know, get all, like, up in his face about him doing it, and, you know, there's, you know, a reason for him to be doing this, that's only going to add more to the stress or to, you know, the reason in the first place.
Right.
So just don't say.
So you want me to be calm?
I want you to be calm, and I want you to say.
You want me to be calm, okay?
I want you to say. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I think it's really important for you to take the car away from him for smoking pot and driving.
He could kill someone,
and you could lose everything.
For driving,
and he could die
under the influence, is completely
different. That's completely
different. That's completely different than just, you know, not driving and being with a few friends, you know, getting a little high. You know, that's completely different than smoking and driving. Like that, you know, two different things.
Give him the, I know you're going to experiment, but I need you to be able to trust me, and I need you to be able to take care of your health and don't do stupid things. And I really think you should do some tough love. He can't be driving around while he's high. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
And by explaining how trust, if he, you can trust him, you know how important that is, it can make life at home more peaceful and supportive. It'll improve his life in general. He's more likely to stay motivated and be honest with you and stay on the road if you have a talk about trusting each other, right? And what things, you write up some rules. What's not acceptable? What's okay? You know he's going, you know, you've got to reward the good stuff, you know?
Okay, And what happens when he goes and does it again?
Well, you take the car away from him.
What the hell am I supposed to do?
You do tough love. You take the car again. I can't imagine. You know, if he's out there driving high, he needs to hear everything he could do to put you and your lives in jeopardy.
He could die. He could die.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No.
That's
for
really
sure.
True.
You know, driving.
These
driving.
Kids don't know. These kids don't know the rules. They
well,
go out
them,
and they
no.
do this crap.
That's right. A
they
lot
drive
of
around stoned.
This
yeah,
is true.
Yeah.
And you know what? Definitely. Sean,
well, I hear you. And
you know, we're kind of running out of time here, but I want to say, yeah, you know, there are definitely, you know, not all teenagers are, you know, gonna go out there, get high and drive. And I'm not saying, you know, that your son, you know, is wrong or like bad a bad kid. You know, he was definitely wrong in the situation to go get high then drive. Yes, that is wrong. That is a felony. That is driving under the influence. If by chance he were to get caught, you know,
oh man, yeah,
literally your life would, you know, come to an end, and so would his. You know,
yeah, you know,
and almost
the one thing
and
good
literally too.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing good. It's good, David. It's good that you at least you're saying the right things.
Thank you.
You know,
you
being
guy.
On the radio,
I
listen to the show occasionally. You know, at least you're saying the right things.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not good. It's just not good.
Thank you.
To have
Thank
these
you.
Kids on the weed.
It's
just not good.
I agree.
Thank you.
How do I email you? Do you have email?
I do have email. You can email me at DCS. Do you want to write this down? DCS boarding, BORDING 514 at AOL.com. Unfortunately, Sean, I'm really sorry. We're going to have to get going. But thank you so much for being on the air. Thank you guys all so much for listening to us today. And hopefully we answered some questions, talked about music, you know, felt good. Dr. Michelle.
Yes, that was fun
good.
Today. Thank
feeling
you so
great.
Much for having me on.
Oh, but of course.
That
you know,
was cool.
And thank you, Sean. You know, Sean, I'm very sorry that you're dealing
that
with
this.
He
was a good caller.
He was a good caller. You know, chill out a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
really.
Just relax. You know, and don't take a belt.
No strapping the kids.
Don't. That's bad. All right, guys. This has been Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. I love you all very much. You guys have a fantastic Sunday.
Bye.
I'll see you next Sunday.